I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. KRISANNEHALL.com. So glad to be here with you today. Happy to be an American yet still. Too bad that's not a common denominator in America anymore. I mean, it's just absolutely stinking mind-boggling, isn't it really? The fact that pride in who we are is becoming illegal. Well, they're not going to throw you in jail for it. Not yet, anyway. But they're going to throw you, but they're going to single you out. Make you seem like a radical. Make you appear to be intolerant. Because you think America is a great place, built on exceptional principles, based upon an exceptional Declaration, Constitution, and a Bill of Rights. And yet, we have everybody trying to get here. I mean, I cannot wrap my brain around this move to make our pride of who we are somehow incorrect. Who cares if they throw you in prison or not? The fact that you cannot speak how you feel without being ostracized and condemned by government forces is just mind-boggling to me. I read on The Blaze this morning, every year Jackson Hole High School is celebrated American Day around homecoming time, and it's a big deal for them. The students take American flags, and they wrap it on their shoulders. They wear American flag attire. They drive, it's all a big celebration of who we are. Now, look, I am not into this sort of mindless nationalism, okay? Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that people have the right to be proud of their heritage. You can claim that the flag is all about nationalism and all this other stuff, and that's all well and good. That's your opinion. I'm not going to ostracize you for that. But you see, most people don't think that far. Most people just see the flag as a symbol. A symbol of constitutional republic. A symbol of American exceptionalism. And a symbol of the dedication and the sacrifice and the toil that it took to create our constitutional republic, celebrating those who have sacrificed for us so that we can live in a place where all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I have to sort of chuckle there because I had a very interesting Twitter debate. I sort of don't like Twitter debates, actually, because it's very hard to impart wisdom in 140 characters or less. But, nonetheless, it sort of makes me sharper in my wit, which is something that I always endeavor to achieve. I admire sharp wit, and I don't sometimes think that I'm as good at it as I'd like to be. And so Twitter sort of hones that. And I actually was involved in this Twitter debate, again, over gun-free zones. And somebody chimed in, and what I said was that my right to keep and bear arms is an inalienable right. It's a natural right. And since it's my natural right, I don't have to submit to anybody telling me that I cannot carry. And I'm hoping that what we see are happening around us will encourage more people to break these unlawful laws and start carrying firearms, even in gun-free zones. Can you imagine? Let me give you a little bit of statistic here. Do you know every public mass shooting since 1950, except for two, has occurred in a gun-free zone? That is a statistic that is based in fact and truth. Every public school, every public mass shooting since 1950 has occurred in a gun-free zone. So, logically, if we were to address this from a logical perspective, right, that means we have a decision to make. Do we accept our inevitable vulnerability and simply put our lives on the lines and enter these front gun-free zones in compliance with their signs? This is not really a law, mind you. It's just a sign. Unless it's a school, because then, you know, most states have passed laws that require gun-free zones in school areas, which is why all these schools are targeted, because of state law. Now, we either decide to enter these gun-free zones, willingly putting our lives on the lines, knowing the likelihood that these are the types of places that will be targeted. Every public mass shooting since 1950, except for two, occurring in a gun-free zone? Or we choose to protect our natural right to life and disobey the law. Can you imagine if one person had disobeyed? How many lives would have been saved? Because it's obvious that gun-free zones don't stop criminals, right? Why? Because laws don't stop crimes. They simply do not stop crimes. And so anyway, this Twitter person says, oh, I say this is a natural right. And this other Twitter person appears to be a young person who is grossly misinformed and was apparently unwilling to educate further than her professor would take her. So she says to me, producing or bearing arms is not a natural right. It is a civil right. So my right to keep and bear arms is not a natural right. It's a civil right, which means it is a right given to me by government. No. That's the whole reason for the Second Amendment, to remind us that our right to keep and bear arms is a natural right, that when you allow government to establish your right to keep and bear arms, then they also have the authority to diminish your right to keep and bear arms. If it's a civil right, then government gives and takes it away as they please. You see, it's this lack of understanding of natural rights. Samuel Adams wrote, the rights of the colonists in 1772. And he said, among the natural rights of the colonists are these. First, life. Secondly, liberty. Third, property, together with the right to protect and defend them in the best means possible. He said, the last right stems from the first law of natural law. The first law of natural law is your right to self-preservation. See, it's just simply mind-boggling to think that I have the right to life, but don't have the right to defend it with the best means possible. And don't bring a knife to a gunfight, right? So what's the best means possible in that situation? A gun. So this young student says to me, it's not a natural right. It's a civil right. She says, you're confusing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I said, no, you're confusing the Declaration of Independence with natural law. And see, the amazing thing is that we have failed to teach people how to read, okay? And so one of the really important phrases in that list, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, is what precedes it. Among these, which means this is a short list. There's a whole lot more we're not talking about. Among these rights, these inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so then I asked her, I said, how do you plan on maintaining that natural right to life if you do not have a natural right to defend it? If you are waiting for the government to provide you with a civil right to defend your life, or perhaps to regulate it in such a way that you are dependent upon government to defend your life and your liberty, then you're a dead man walking. I want to talk to you today about how the government is killing us. America, government is killing liberty. Government is killing life, and government is killing our pursuit to happiness. And we're just going along to get along.
Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
The government is controlling our media, and I don't think that is a, you know, colossal surprise for anybody who listens to this show. New listeners might be shocked by that, but the truth of the matter is, it is the truth. And it's always been the truth. Great Britain controlled the media when our framers were building a resistance to government tyranny and in fighting for liberty. And with that government control of media, we have a manipulation of facts, a manipulation of terms, a manipulation of reality, so that those who do not look any further than mainstream news are led to believe everything that they see. It's funny that Thomas Jefferson is one of those quick wits that I wish that I was. And Thomas Jefferson said that the best use for a newspaper was to light your fire. And I think that we need to keep that in mind today as we are reading the news. Who owns your information, and what is their perspective? There is an amazing article by Crime Prevention Research Center that talks about Bloomberg's Every Town article called, I think it's Every Town for Gun Safety on Guns, an analysis of recent mass shootings. Now, this article from the Crime Prevention Research, be careful, gives real facts and real statistics. But this is not the information that's going to get into the mainstream. Why? Why can't we get real facts and real truths? I mean, it's very rare that you even see someone reporting CDC standards and CDC statistics. Because even the government's own Center for Disease Control, even their statistics dispute the uneducated, misled hysteria promoted by the government today. And I want to mention to you that this is sort of nonpartisan. We have members of the GOP who consider themselves conservatives, and I'm not just talking about Boehner and McConnell. We all know who they are, and Lindsey Graham and John McCain. We know who they are, but we are talking about real people. Real people, real Republicans who consider themselves conservatives. Maybe they only vote against the Constitution 15% of the time, wanting to have a common sense debate on gun legislation. And that's insane. Number one, common sense is not readily available in Washington, D.C. as of late. Number two, the basis of these discussions are based in falsehoods, not in facts. Falsehoods led by the media and the government paid analysis and research centers. Yes, the government pays research centers. I'm sure that's no real blow your hair back kind of truth. But the truth is that our tax dollars pay for research centers to provide information that the government wants to give to us. Now think about this. If the government is paying you to do a research study, and your research is contingent upon the government paying you, then you realize that your payment is contingent upon making the government happy. So you're going to do whatever you can do to make sure that your research matches the goals of the government so that you can get paid. Is that crazy? No, it's not crazy. The EPA does it all the time. I'll remind you that the EPA last year was called on the carpet by Congress in an investigation over their diesel fuel regulations, only to find out through this congressional hearing that the EPA had been taking money from the government to do research and then fudging the data and often not even doing the research at all, just simply making up the data. And from that created regulations that are killing people's businesses. Government is killing America. So don't let them steal your life. Don't let them break your stride.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So this push for gun-free zones is killing America. The statistics show that. They prove that. The question is, will Americans begin to stand up for their natural right to life and start disobeying these gun-free zones? Oh, but I might go to jail. Oh, really? So you spend a night in jail, or 12 people die? Can you sort of weigh that on the sort of ethical, moral scale there? You might get arrested and go to jail. Or you might save the lives of 12 or more people. That appears to be a no-brainer to me. I mean, honestly. What does that mean? Well, it's just a decision that we have to make. And we need to realize that government regulations are killing us. Most literally. They're killing our lives. They're killing our businesses. Government regulations. Do you know... and again, consider your sources. And I'm very, very disappointed. The Daily Signal is a Heritage Foundation publication. Now, whether they are or not, here's the problem. The people of America look to the Heritage Foundation for constitutional guidance. And I don't believe that's an accident, okay, that people do that. I believe that is a direct result of Heritage Foundation's teaching. Okay, they have, the Heritage Foundation has all their teachings on the Constitution. They have their free courses on the Constitution. And they want America to believe that they are the go-to source for the Constitution. And so, in light of their achieved public persona of being the go-to people for the Constitution, I'm extremely disappointed this morning in the articles that I see on the Daily Signal. The Daily Signal is a Heritage Foundation publication. And these two articles that I want to talk to you about are so disturbing to me from a constitutional perspective, from these people who are supposed to be our constitutional go-to source. And... I don't know. I think if you portray yourself to be a certain type of resource, then you should stick to that, right? You should be true to that. And so we have these two articles from the Daily Signal. The first is four reasons Congress needs to review the EPA's ozone standard. And the other is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Don't judge it before reading it. Now, I opened up, really, this is the Heritage Foundation's publication, Four Reasons Congress Needs to Review the EPA's Ozone Standard. And I opened it up with the hope of seeing some real constitutional challenges here. No. It's all about money. It's all about prosperity. Not a single mention of the fact that the EPA itself is unconstitutional. And that the government regulating ozone is unconstitutional. This is disturbing to me. You would think as an organization that wants you to believe that it's the go-to people for the Constitution, that even in this article they could insert a little clause about something constitutional instead of being dedicated to prosperity-focused reporting. And what's even worse, I think, than that, is the fact that this article, by lack of discussion, gives the EPA credibility in creating these regulations. Because the article is not about diminishing the credibility of the EPA or their authority to make these regulations. It's complaining about the fact that the EPA is not following proper science, that it is damaging business, it is not meeting a proper cost-benefit analysis. It creates an improper competition among the states. I mean, seriously, we could be talking about the proper application of the Commerce Clause right here. When we're talking about, they said, the tighter ozone standard sets up a perverse competition among states. We could be talking about the proper application of the Commerce Clause here and about how ozone and EPA doesn't follow under the proper application of the Commerce Clause. And it's about everything except the Constitution. And like I said, what really alarms me is this article actually gives credibility to the EPA. Heritage. Shame on you. I mean, seriously. Stop claiming to be a go-to person for our constitutional advice and needs. If this is the kind of greedy, money-grubbing kitsch you're going to put out. So by this time, I'm sort of jaded, right? Now, this Trans-Pacific Partnership is a huge constitutional issue. Huge. Violates practically every aspect of limited government that our foundations are built upon. And this article by Brian O'Reilly, who, by the way, is a full-time advocate for free trade through his research and writing for the Heritage Foundation. It says he brings years of experience in trade and economic issues to his role as J. Van Andel, Senior Analyst in Trade Policy. Once again, Heritage wanting to be your go-to constitutional people. Presenting an issue with absolutely no constitutional mention whatsoever. And then once again, this article actually giving some type of credibility to this TPP and even the TPA. I mean, I don't understand this. How do we get to the point where we have a place whom practically the entire conservative population views as being the go-to source for the Constitution, and in their daily publications supporting government that is unconstitutional? Silence on an issue is support of an issue. But not only that, these are not just silence. These are giving credibility. People reading this article published by the Heritage Foundation, written by a man whom the Heritage Foundation bolsters as being such a reliable source and huge experience and our go-to guy on this issue on TPP. Really? Really? This is disturbing, America. We need to become better critical thinkers than this. Look, don't get ticked off at me. I am not attacking the Heritage Foundation. I am just simply asking the American people to be critical thinkers and to hold people to the standards that they create for themselves. This article on TPP is so fundamentally constitutionally disturbing that it's hard for me to even associate with an organization that wants you to believe it's the constitutional go-to people. And when you read this article from the Heritage Foundation, which mentions no constitutional issues whatsoever, it must make you believe, if you trust them, that there are no constitutional issues in this. He says, although many politicians and pundits will be tempted to weigh in on the TPP deal immediately, it is premature to evaluate the agreement until the final text is available for public review. Really? So we can't discuss the fact that this Trans-Pacific Partnership is really a foreign treaty, a deal created to circumvent the treaty process and eliminate the checks and balances that are there to protect the people and their liberty? We're not going to mention that, okay? We can't talk about that because we can't read the whole thing. We can't talk about the fact that the TPP is on its face fundamentally offensive to anybody who understands the Constitution. And then Mr. Riley says, as the Heritage Foundation noted earlier this year, completed trade agreements should be fully vetted before they are voted upon. That's a very interesting clause and extremely deceptive and misleading. And I want you to see this, because this is why I'm so disturbed about the Heritage Foundation. This man says, as the Heritage Foundation noted earlier this year, that would make you to believe that the Heritage Foundation itself is promoting a certain perspective, and that the TPP and the TPA are actually something that the Heritage Foundation finds acceptable. It's okay under the Constitution. Because the foundation said that completed trade agreements should be fully vetted before they are voted upon. No, they should not be fully vetted before they are voted on. They should be constitutional and then only supported by 2/3 of the Senate. Not voted upon. Are you stinking kidding me? So when you click on the little link that says, as Heritage Foundation noted, and you go to where the Heritage Foundation talked about TPP, earlier this year, you see that it's an article by Mr. Riley himself. You see, he is claiming the backing of the Heritage Foundation, the foundation that wants you to think it's the constitutional go-to resource. Look, our ignorance is killing us, and it's killing the Constitution as well. My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my shit till I ain't got none. Except for
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
I'm sorry if I have offended some. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over our favorite personality. I should enjoy adding in there our favorite organization. See, it's disturbing to me that Americans who love the Constitution are supporting, are funding this in the tune of millions of dollars. Do you want to hear what this man says the Heritage. Now, I'll remind you, he claims the Heritage Foundation established this. Not just his personal opinion, but that the Heritage Foundation supports this. He says, according to his opinion on TPA, and the Heritage Foundation trumps him up as being the resource, right? We don't need TPA. We need, are you ready for this? And this is the headline, a congressional mandate for economic freedom. He says, Congress will soon consider giving trade promotion authority to the executive branch for several years, starting with hearings by the Senate Finance and House Ways and Means Committee on January 27. TPA establishes expedited congressional procedure for handling trade agreements negotiated under its directives. You know what? There is no constitutional authorization for a trade agreement outside a treaty. I simply do not understand this. And he digresses into political partisanship. He says, some legislators who might be otherwise inclined to support such legislation may question whether President Barack Obama would use this authority responsibly. Yeah, okay. It's not about whether which president will use it responsibly. It's about the fact that it's completely and totally unconstitutional. This is international executive orders. And apparently the Heritage Foundation is okay with it as long as those international executive orders follow their plan. He says, instead of a trade promotion authority, which implies broad discretionary authority and a delegation of power to the executive branch, Congress should issue a trade expansion mandate that establishes clearly defined congressional directives for U.S. trade negotiations. Possible elements of this mandate could include reduce or eliminate barriers, foster economic growth, raise living standards, promote creation of new jobs, protect property rights. Using a trade expansion mandate instead of a trade promotion authority would remove any doubt that Congress remains in charge of setting U.S. trade priorities and deciding whether agreements negotiated by the U.S. Trade Representative meet those priorities. You know, what is the constitutional authority for what he proposes? Where is the establishment of the authority to mandate anything by Congress? And it's this crazy thing, because the whole TPA agreement now assumes that the House should have a vote on our trade agreements. No, because the Constitution is clear. The House does not have a vote on trade agreements. The Senate is the one who decides trade agreements as treaties. And there is no such thing as a trade agreement. It is a treaty. But we change the way we speak about things so that we can pretend like they're something that they're not, so we can create authority that doesn't exist. Heritage Foundation, we expect more from you. Am I wrong for pointing out here that they're not operating constitutionally and they're not even actually addressing constitutional issues and making sure their writers are constitutionally sound? The Heritage Foundation supports this, he says. Well, that's my question. Do they? Look, the government is killing us with regulations. Our ignorance is killing the Constitution. We need to get educated, America, if we're going to stop this government and stop this propaganda. God bless. See you tomorrow.